I've got to watch 50 to 60 episodes of a show to get.
You don't have to watch. You
I don't
get to watch. I don't. You get to watch them, my friend.
In this episode, Detective Padme tracks down crime. Sister Ventress has a bad time, and old Count Dooku decides not to rhyme. We'll discuss Clone Wars 215 and 312 in this edition of the 11 Parsecs podcast.
Hello, and welcome to podcast number 44 of the 11 Parsecs podcast. My name's Eric, here with my good buddy John.
Hello!
And tonight we are reviewing two more Clone Wars episodes. Surprise! We are in the midst of seasons 2 and 3 of Clone Wars. We're working our way through them slowly. If you don't listen to the podcast, we're going through all of Star Wars New Canon in chronological order, starting from, I think, Master and Apprentice was the first novel that we read back on podcast 2, and we are now at podcast number 44. We are in the middle of the Clone Wars. And if you don't listen to the podcast, we always like to drink beer during the podcast. John, what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I have, I think you may have had this on the pod before, but I have not had this in quite some time. It is Bell's .. Where do you think I'm going with this?
It's either Two Hearted or Oberon.
Two Hearted.
Yes,
Two Hearted IPA.
It's good. It's a good IPA.
Solid, solid IPA.
Yeah, that's one of my go-tos up there with Hopsecutioner and, I don't know, maybe Sierra Nevada. I mean, yeah, that's a go-to. That's a great beer. 420.
Well, this was sparked by a Reddit thread that was on which beers have changed over time that where you no longer like them. And this was the winner of Still Solid. And I thought, I haven't had Two Hearted in forever. What do you mean, what? It's still solid. It's still good.
No, I know it's solid. I'm just amazed that it's changed. I don't think the flavor profile's ever
changed. No. People were saying this hasn't changed.
Oh, hasn't changed.
This one hasn't changed.
Understood.
Other beers like Sam Adams, Boston Lager,
yeah,
it even
agreed.
Says it on the package. Remastered.
Yep.
I haven't had it since they've changed it, but things are changing for the worse. They've changed them to be more mass production friendly.
Yeah.
And that, you know, necessarily sacrifices quality and taste. So, but this one was rated as not having changed and still solid, and so I thought I'm gonna have it.
And who doesn't love the trout fishies? I mean, it's one of the best looking beers ever. So I am drinking a Hey Hazy's. Have you heard of this, Cherry Street?
No, I have not.
It was newer when I went to the fridge the other day. I went and this is gonna sound like an old man. I went and got my haircut right next to Cherry Street and went in and had a beer. And went in and had a beer and then came out with a bunch of stuff out of their freezer. And this is a double dry hopped India Pale Ale called Hey Hazy's, 9% alcohol. It's in the pint can.
Mm.
Yeah, the can's actually pretty cool looking too. Like it's actually a pretty neat looking design. So I'm excited to try it. I also got another one. I walked out of there with, let's see here, 2 12 packs and 1 4 pack of the pints and 2 drinks because my wife went with me and we each had a drink too. And I think I walked out of there though for $55. I mean, it's getting on up there, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It was
everything
kinda...
is. Everything is, Eric. Everything's so much more expensive these days.
I was telling the lady when I got my haircut that her prices have gone up.
And I had an onion tied to my belt, as was the style at the time.
All right, you ready? You ready to pop these bad
yep.
boys? All right, 3, 2, 1. Don't overflow. I did get a glass this time. I'm being couth. Is that the word?
Civilized. You can use couth. Couth
can
is
I use
fine.
Couth? Yeah, that's a pretty good word.
It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Which one of us was the English major on the podcast? Can you guess?
That's just delicious.
I know. It's a great beer. It's a very good beer. I've always enjoyed Two Hearted. It's just like, and it's funny you say that, though. Did anybody rate Fat Tire as having, they felt like it had changed over the years?
Absolutely has changed.
Has
changed.
Yeah, because that's one that
No one likes it anymore.
I used to drink it all the time. Like, that was like one of my go-to beers. And then something about it, it's just like, and I was like, is it me? Is it you? I don't know. But it didn't taste like it normally did. And I was just kind of like, ah. And I don't think I've had one probably in about 2 or 3 years. Maybe since before COVID, now that I think about it.
Oh, I haven't had that in a very long time. Because, yeah, partly I think taste buds change and evolve.
Yeah, I was about to say, as you get older, it's got to.
And they, yeah, they're the market has exploded with really delicious, rich IPA. I mean, why stick with same old?
Yeah, okay, unless it spells too hard. All right, man, we watched two episodes of Clone Wars this week. I got some thoughts. Let's start off with what we're reviewing tonight. So as I mentioned in the podcast before, we're going in chronological order based off of a list that we found on Reddit that gives a pretty good approximation of chronological order that we kind of put our stake in the ground, man, almost two, maybe 3 years ago when we started the podcast and said, this is the list. Even if three years ago, even if this list changes, because of course, all the time Disney's releasing new canon, they're releasing, you know, Andor, they're releasing Obi-Wan series, they're releasing tons of the New Republic books. I mean, there's just tons of stuff that's always coming out, but that stuff we decided we're not going to go back in time and read. What we're going to do is we're going to take this specific list, which we have on our website, 11parsecs.com, and say, this is the list that we're going to go down and finish all of this canon. And then maybe at the end, you know, we'll go back and, you know, reread some of the newer stuff that's come out. And of course, we're always watching the shows. I mean, we actually talk about the shows a little bit on the podcast. So we get into stuff that's not necessarily in chronological order, but stuff that isn't on our list, but still Star Wars. We like to geek out about it. So this week we are jumping back to, we're in 22 BBY and we're about to hit 21 BBY, I believe. And we're jumping back to Clone Wars Season 2, Episode 15, called Senate Murders. That's the first one we're going to review tonight. And John, what did you think about it?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's, you know, it's a little sad if you want to go into spoilers.
Yeah, we go into spoilers. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this thing came out on March 12th, 2010. So I don't think we're spoiling it for anybody. If we are, then I get it. Then don't cut off the podcast now.
So no, I thought it was. I don't think it was all that predictable. Honestly, I don't think I saw the twist coming.
I didn't either.
Who turned out to be the assassin?
Yep.
And I was asking myself while I was learning who the assassin was if I should have known. And I don't think so.
So I'm in complete agreement with you. I had no clue that that's who the murderer was going to be. And again, cut it off now because I'm going to start talking about it in a second. But in looking back, do you remember the episode that we watched early on in Clone Wars that had Senator Farr and Amidala? Remember when they go to that planet that was, I think it was like, it was Rodian. It's the Rodian's planet, Rodian. Mm-hmm. And is it Jar Jar Binks that's with him? And he like ends up being like this kind of Jedi. Remember we were like, oh, it's Jar Jar and he's going to be like a clumsy Jedi that they think is an actual really good Jedi. Do you remember that episode? It was a while back.
It was a while back. I know now that you mentioned Jar Jar being clumsy, that really narrows it down to one particular.
Yeah, I know.
I really do. It's funny how I do now remember that episode, but only because you said that. I did look up, why do I, you know, now that he's dead, why was I really supposed to care? Where did we, what kind of history did we have with him? And so I refreshed on that episode, but not the Jar Jar Binks part of it. So,
yeah.
But yes, now I remember. And I guess partly impressed that they, you know, killed him off.
Yeah, they did. And that's the first thing I have in my mind is I'm like, whoa, we really just killed Onikana Farr. Like he's gone. Like he ain't coming back. Like it was like I was like, wow, this is a serious episode. As I got into it, I personally didn't enjoy the inspector guy that was supposed to be kind of like
Pink Panther. I didn't think about those terms.
It was just kind of like this weird
dating
like,
yourself there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I totally am. But I'm saying it was very like it was overdone. And I understand that you're supposed to maybe think that he was the one that maybe had something to do with this or he was working with the other side.
I didn't think that. I thought they were just, I had to look it up because I was so curious about that character. They actually designed him to be unlikable in appearance. He is one of the few characters, if not the only character, that is, he has an asymmetrical face. You are not supposed to like him.
I didn't think about that.
A little bit of trivia there for you.
Okay. That's interesting.
So
and that's,
everything
that's...
about him is designed to just make you like, go away, you know? But no, I didn't get anything like, I bet he did it. I did not get that at all.
Okay, see, I mistook it. I took it as in, like...
He's the face of how dysfunctional the Republic is. Everything is, I gotta file a report. Everything is just bureaucratic overload and just dysfunctional.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like that was going to lead up to... And this is where I was completely wrong, completely surprised by the episode, which I liked. I felt like it was going to end up being the other two senators that were, you know, kind of disgusted with the little posse that Padme and all them had and Afar.
Right.
And I thought that there was going to be something in there. And then I thought that what was going to happen was we were going to see this Devo guy, the Inspector Devo, kind of like crush the actual research into what happened. And that was going to lead us into different episodes of like how like, you know, discontent everything is right now. And that, you know, it's just, I felt like it was going to show like the reach of some of the different politicians in the Senate. But I was kind of, I was kind of impressed with how wrong I was. Let's go into the spoilers. So Lolo is like Anaconda Farr's like protege, or at least that's what I got from it. It's like his helper, like his like I don't know what you call it. Like what do you call it in the Senate when you have somebody that's not a senator but is learning the ropes of politicians? I mean, like a page, but not a page.
An aide or page.
Yeah, an aide. An aide's probably a better word. Aide is actually the better word. And Lolo is his aide. And unless you really remember that episode, because if you remember that episode, Anaconda makes a really bad mistake and sides with, it wasn't the Republic. He sided with the Separatists.
Federation.
Yeah, the Federation. Yeah. And he makes a mistake and they don't feed his planet and everybody gets mad at him. And then Padme goes down there, and Padme had known him for years and years and years before all this through her channels, and is just like, you know, you don't, this doesn't have to be this way. Help me bring you back, you know, to our side. And she does. And he goes through from then until now, which is probably only like a year and a half in the actual canon, apologizing for what he did. And that's, you know, and they even kind of allude to it a little bit at the beginning of the episode where she's always like, you know, don't blame it on yourself. You know, this is what happened and this is where we are now. And I didn't bite on that. Like, I was just kind of like, yeah, you screwed up. So it's all good, Anaconda. We're good. And then, lo and behold, he's dead now. I mean, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What just happened? And I think that unless you really know that other episode, though, this is kind of a hollower episode to me. Like, I agree with you. Like why am I supposed to care about what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It rewards someone who's paying more attention than I tend to.
Yeah, agreed. It's a deep dive, a deep cut.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind
of
like,
oh, and there, if you want, yeah, if you want that emotional payoff of, oh no, not well, because isn't his name Ono?
Yeah, no, his
Ono, he's Anaconda.
Oh Ono, yeah,
for short.
Okay,
don't they call him Ono?
Yeah, I always called him Anaconda Farr or Senator Farr, but yeah, no, Ono.
Oh, you always use his full name? Okay,
yeah, he's a senator. He deserves to be spoken about in hushed tones with his full name. No, I don't
know. He will respect this fictional senator from another galaxy.
Now that I think about it, it's funny to have a Senator Ono with an aide named Lolo, which is cracking me up. I don't know why it's cracking me up, but it's cracking me up a little bit. So Ono and Lolo. I
think you're mocking their culture. I am offended on their behalf.
The Rodian culture. Yeah, fair enough. I think we've talked about them before as having those starry eyes, too.
they all have that.
I
God,
know.
You're a racist.
I'm not racist. I'm Rodian. I'm pro-Rodian, man. I really am. But I don't know. This wasn't my favorite episode. I thought it was good. It was watchable.
It was good. I'm not going to call it a favorite. No, it was good.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm not going to ask you for a score on this one because I don't know where I would score it, honestly. Like, I'm, like, trying to go through it in my head.
It's a little, you say, you called it a little hollow, and I would agree with that. I mean, the big reveal, I was the assassin, and you can't take me alive, and then, you know, they take her. It's just, there's really nothing to it.
The punch by Padme was pretty cool.
Okay.
The knockout punch, I thought that was kind of cool. You just got Padme showing a little bit of chops. Which we know she has, because we've seen her, you know, we've seen her assassinate people before. Remember, I think like two episodes ago, she hit somebody with a candlestick and like killed them, like straight up killed them with a candlestick. But which is
don't condone violence, Eric.
Which is pretty Padme.
I'm a pacifist, so could have arrested her.
So the Inspector Tandevo guy, I don't know. I just, yeah, okay, I'll deal with it. Lolo, I don't know if I've even seen Lolo Purse until this episode. Like, I don't think like, are we supposed to know that she's always by the senator?
If I had plenty of time, I would go back through and rewatch those episodes to see if was she in the background or was she even possibly mentioned or something.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
If that were the case, that would be impressive. If they really laid it out like that.
Yeah, they would have to have laid it out like season one, too, which was... I mean, these seasons are long. I mean, you're talking like 20-something episodes per season, too. It's not a short season. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's an animation, so, you know, it just takes a little bit longer. All right, let's get to probably my favorite episode of Clone Wars that we've watched so far, maybe. The Night Sisters.
Understandable.
Yeah, this is like in tons of shows today, Mandalorian, Boba Fett, tons of these shows today, you get these allusions going back to the Night Sisters. Like, and they're just like little pieces of like nuggets of information. And then we had Ahsoka, which you go full on dive in. And like, yeah. I remember the Night Sisters, and I remember them in relation to Darth Maul. And there's a really good comic book series that we'll get to eventually that's and this is going to go geeky real quick, but whenever Marvel bought Star Wars, they cleared all canon and said, you know, we're going to come up with the movies are canon, but everything else is not canon, except for four comic books that were printed by Dark Horse, like 8 years previously, I think, like way back. That were it's called Son of Dathomir, that's all about Night Sisters and Dathomir, and I always never understood why they let those four comics from another company become canon. And you start to see the Night Sisters coming up, and now I'm getting into something that I don't know that much about, which is pretty awesome to me. Like, I really, really enjoyed this episode. Like, this is the first episode where I was literally like on every word, just because I wanted to understand where all this stuff comes from that I saw in Ahsoka and this other stuff. Was it that way for you? Because I know you didn't read those comics.
No, I had no idea about the origins of the Night Sisters. And my understanding of the Night Sisters was from Ahsoka. So it was like, oh, that's where this started, I thought, you know.
Yeah, and you knew Darth Maul and the Sabrak and like those kind of like... You knew that it was a little bit different for Darth Maul, though. No.
How did I know it was different for Darth Maul?
Well, I'm just saying, I shouldn't say different for Darth Maul. Maybe I should say you knew Darth Maul was a very different beast when you first saw him on the screen back in episode one.
Sure.
Like he just didn't look like somebody you had seen before, right?
God, back to your racism. Does it never stop? You look different. You're different. Your skin's funny colors.
You're in Star Wars. It's like, yeah. I don't know.
Yes, Maul was presented as a different beast, if you will.
Yeah, a different dark side.
I took episode one, his appearance in episode one, his demeanor in episode one, to be just a very shorthand way of saying this guy's a badass.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
And that's it. This guy's a badass. Take him as a badass. You don't know him, but you should be afraid of him.
So, what were your feelings on Dooku being commanded to kill Asajj?
I have the same thought that I've had many times. That is, how do you ever get power? Because if someone gets a little good, you take them out.
Yeah, totally. Like so I didn't know that
you
was
need
coming.
You need the B team all the time. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and like, who wants to be on the B team?
Well, they don't think they're going to be on the B team. That's the thing.
Well, Asajj was like his like protege. She was Dooku's protege.
And you don't think she had delusions of grandeur?
I think she did. But I also think she's like, do I want to even like? Or let me say this. I don't think that she wanted to kill Dooku and take his place. I think she just wanted to be where she was. Does that make sense? I don't think she ever wanted. I don't think she ever wanted to be Palpatine's next.
But I mean, that's part of the nature of the dark side is you're attracted to power and you think, right, I'm going to get more power. That's it. That's really the extent of it.
Okay. I'll buy that. I'll buy into that. I don't necessarily know that I don't know. I just feel like she, this could sound terrible. I feel like she was a tool, and she was a tool that Doku used whenever he needed to, because he could control her, and he knew she wouldn't rise up against him. I'm amazed at the quick efficiency, and maybe I probably shouldn't be, where Palpatine was just like, you need to take her out. She's getting too powerful. And then Doku's like, okay.
What else is he supposed to do?
Yeah, yeah, fair.
I mean, this is a one-way street. You don't say no.
It might have been funny if he did. He's like, no, she's good. She's cool.
then you have an endless stream of assassins at your door.
Yeah, taking you out. I mean, yeah, okay, So, for those that don't know, there's a battle between Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Asajj on a ship. Doku gets the command to say, hey, kill, take Asajj out. So he has his own people fire on his own people's ship to destroy the ship, to destroy Asajj. The two Jedi escape. Everyone kind of assumes, I guess, really, that Asajj was dead. She turns up, free floating space, you know, blah, blah, blah. A cruiser picks her up. She kills everybody on the cruiser and then flies that back to Dathomir. And then this is where we start to get into the Night Sisters and understanding who they are, who Mother Talzin is. Talzin immediately comes out and is telling them, no, this is Asajj. We know who she is. And then she passes out. And then they have to do some weird, like, kind of spell thing to bring her, not bring her back. She's always alive, but just to heal her. And then they go try to assassinate Doku, which I thought was really cool. Like, I thought she was just like, yeah, let's go kill him.
Oh, I'm pulling for them the whole time. Yeah, and I know it's a lost cause because, you know, we know what happens with Doku, but
right.
It's take him out, get him.
And they have cool tech. They have these like mist, like invisible cloak kind of things. They're doing it. And the thing that got me a little bit was Talzin was very insistent on them taking lightsabers to make it look like they were Jedi. And I couldn't tell if that was for Doku to be like, okay, these are Jedi. The Jedi are attacking me, versus other plans that Talzin may have had. Like, I don't know. That part kind of struck me as a little bit different. I know that they're not supposed to see, or he's not supposed to see them because of the invisibility cloaks. He just sees the lightsabers and all that kind of stuff. But that was a weird little add-in that I don't know if it was meant.
He can't know that they're Night Sisters because he knows the Night Sisters.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
As we learn towards the end. So you can't let him know that we tried to take him out. So we'll take lightsabers and we're Jedi.
Okay. I'll buy it.
When did you see Jedi with like cloaking stuff?
Yeah, ever? Or at the very end, whenever he goes all force lightning-y and blows them out of the window, it's not like he's not going to see them now. I mean, they change back. I mean, they lose their invisibility or their cloak or their mist or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but that's when they're down the cliff. That's when it turns off.
Okay. So yeah, Doku has no cameras or anything.
It's a conceit. You have to cameras?
Why couldn't he have cameras, man?
We know that definitely Star Wars, the galaxy of Star Wars is a police surveillance state. Yeah.
They are at certain points when the story needs it and they're not in others. Like Doku having cameras outside his house.
Ding 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 ding, there you go.
I got you. I don't know. It was neat. I thought the kind of the little bitty backstory you got about Asajj, how she was actually a pupil of, what was that guy's name? Narek, the Jedi Narek, Kyne Narek. Mm-hmm. And that was cool. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that aspect of it. Because if you remember back in the audio drama that we had for Doku, man, probably like 2 years ago that we listened to, it goes into a little bit of her history in that audio drama, but it doesn't really talk about her training, if I remember right. Like, it doesn't talk about why she's such a badass. And it just talks about her being a badass and you know, and joining up with Doku, and Doku kind of like played some middle games with her and brought her over to his side and some other stuff. But I really enjoyed this episode. I cannot wait for this arc to play out. And hopefully we're going to see a lot more of this too. Like, I love this setting. I love this biome. I love Dathomir. This is all new to me, which I really enjoy too. And after seeing, you know, stuff in Ahsoka, I'm like, oh man, this is so cool. This is kind of like the core of what I think Clone Wars brought, or Filoni brought, you know, among other stuff, but some of the core concepts that he really had going with him whenever he was working on Clone Wars and brought that forth to Ahsoka and probably his movies coming out too. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just, if I had to rate this up there, it'd probably be my top 2 to 3 episodes that we've ever watched Clone Wars wise. And we're only into season 3, so I mean, don't get me wrong, there's probably tons more, but were you as high on it?
I don't know if I was quite that high. It's definitely top tier. I really can't say if it's, you know, top three or something like that. It, way up there.
Excellent. It was good. It was good. I'm not going to ask for a number unless you want me to ask for a number.
Six.
Okay, six. Okay. I'm going to go with...
six is a number.
37.3. So it's not exactly irrational, but it's also not a little bit.
That's what we should be doing. We should be giving scores to every episode and never really telling what the scale is. Like, you know, yeah, well, this is a 472.
Yeah, it's a negative 4,070 over here. And it was a good episode. That's all I'm going to say. It's like crazy. What are you watching? Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
You go first this time.
Okay. I finally got the Paramount Plus subscription and watched Halo. I did it because I think the new season comes out in like a week. I think season mm-hmm. two comes out like next week. And I was like, you know what? I need to watch it. You know, you, William, a bunch of other guys are in the pod. I'm sorry, on the Discord are all... You guys didn't rave about it, but you all said it was pretty good, pretty darn good. And so I was like, I sat down, I watched the first episode. I was like, okay, it's number one. The budget is a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. I didn't know it was going to be this big of a budget. It's yeah. Amblin Entertainment too, so I mean that lends a little bit of credence to it also. And then I watched the first two episodes, and then I thought about staying up all night to watch the rest of them. I mean, it is way better than I felt like it should have been. Like, I was not expecting
I agree
to be
with
that good.
Yes. Yes.
And as Williams noted, we talked about on the Discord, it's not technically, and I've played through the Halo game some, but mostly multiplayer. Like, I never really did the story arcs or anything like that. So, like, I know who Master Chief is. I know who Cortana is. You know, I know who these characters are, but I don't know the whole story. And I actually thought, as I was watching it up until probably about episode 4 or 5, that this was the actual story, that I just didn't, you know, I didn't play the single player, so I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But I guess not. Based on what William said, it's a completely new story, but the person the writing team that was writing it came out and just said, hey, this is not going to be a story that you know from the video games. It's in that universe. It's got Master Chief in it. You're going to recognize people, and you're going to recognize, you know, the names, and you're going to recognize the characters and all that kind of stuff, but it's not the same story as the video game. I thought it was up until like 4 or 5, until you guys started talking about it. I was wholly into this. This was some great writing. Really well done special effects, a very big budget. I mean, you got it's not one warthog that's being used 20 times in a shot. You got like 3 or 4 of them out there. Like and I don't think it's CGI. I mean, I think it's a real warthog that they built. Like it's impressive. It's a very good show.
I was incredibly impressed, and I had, I guess that's part of the reason why I had not low expectations, but kind of I just didn't know what to expect. But it looked like it was a good production quality, so I wanted to give it a shot. Now, if it's not the same story as a video game, does that hurt it, in your opinion?
No, it doesn't. I just like I said, I played the multiplayer on... I didn't play Halo 1. I think I came into multiplayer at Halo 2. Definitely played it for 3. And then there was another offshoot Halo game that I cannot remember the name of it right now. But it was like just kind of like I think it was a Halo 3 kind of like remod type situation. And then I played a little bit of Halo 4 on the Xbox X. I didn't really get too into it. I was impressed with the graphics. I just never really got into the story or anything on it. And as far as I can tell, I could see how this story could be looked at as maybe the way that we'll just go ahead and go spoilers here. So please stop listening if you are wanting to watch Halo and not have any type of spoilers. I had always thought that the Halo and the world that the Halo was on was not a weapon. It was where they were from originally. I think that's, and again, I'm not a Halo expert. I think that that's different. And I think that that is what it originally was. And they're just kind of like doing a little bit of, you know, a different type of thing with that, but they're not taking as much liberty as like Foundation or anything. You know what I mean? It's not like all over the board. But it is a new story, I think, that's supposed to be in this universe, and maybe a retelling in a different way of the story to set up, you know, a franchise of TV shows or movies.
I am not kind of like you. I played multiplayer a bit I do not know the story at all. So I have no investment in this, and I'm just enjoying what they're showing me.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's a great popcorn show. Like, I love it. Like, I am almost to the point where I was mad at myself for not catching this earlier, and I'm glad I got it caught before season two comes out. If the production value is the same as season one, man, and the acting's great too. I mean, there may be one or two characters I was kind of like, but yeah, the acting's great. Like, I'm like, yeah, count me in, man.
It's always satisfying to see them announce, you know, a season two or to carry forward when so many shows are being axed after one promising or semi-promising season, and then they're done. They're toast. That's always disappointing.
I don't know that. I'm trying to think through the main actors and actresses. I don't know that other than, so do you remember when this show came out? I remember you and William and them talking about it on the Discord, not a long ways back, but a decent while back. Like, it wasn't like a couple of months ago.
I know that it was out for quite some time before I watched it.
Okay.
And I watched it maybe like a year ago or something.
Okay. So about a year ago. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, the point that I was getting to was that I don't think I recognize barely any of the actors or actresses in the show.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, most of the people are new to me, at least, and I watch a decent amount, I guess, of TV and movies. So, yeah, I just thought it was really good. I think it was really underrated. I see the hype now for season two because it sounds like there are a lot of other people like me who are, like, very impressed with it. And I don't watch Yellowstone. I don't really watch anything else on the Paramount Network, you know, other than movies if I can't find anything. But it was worth it for me to sub to Paramount to watch that. And I'll sub to it. You know, I'll keep my sub up just for the second season, too, just because I felt like it was really, really good. So it was one of the biggest surprises for me, I think, here lately. And I'm not a huge, like, Halo video game fan. Like, I enjoyed the games, played the multiplayer to have fun with friends. But, yeah, it was really good. Really good.
It was surprisingly good, yes.
All right, that's mine. What's yours? What else have you been watching? Or what have you been watching?
Something that has been, I guess this was a pandemic series, Doom Patrol. Did you watch Doom Patrol?
No. Is this a DC Comics thing?
Yes, although I don't know the comic at all. I mean, this was my first exposure to it.
I know of the comic, but I've never read the comic.
So it what is it, like four or five seasons? I don't remember. It's finished. It wrapped up.
Okay.
In a fairly satisfying way, so I can recommend it based on that. But it's really
how many episodes per season?
I don't know.
IMDb. I'm just saying I know you, and if you went through six seasons, then like, did you? Just
oh, but binge no. Over four years. I don't know. Call it a pandemic series because I got into it over the pandemic. You know, what else are you going to do? Watch whatever you can find.
You have been watching it for 4 years. Okay, I got you. I thought you were meant you just discovered it and watched like 4 years worth of episodes and like since the last time we talked.
It was still coming out. And this final season finally came out. And it came out in two parts. Came out in like early December maybe. And the first half. And then they finished it. Or maybe that was the second half when it came out. Anyway, interesting characters. You either will kind of get, if you're like me, you will kind of get into it, or you will realize it's not your bag.
Are these DC characters that you recognize before you start watching the show, or are they kind of like all new for the show?
Only Cyborg because of Justice League. I mean, right. I don't know DC beyond the big ones, you know?
Who are some of the other characters?
Robot Man. Okay. Crazy Jane. I don't know their names. He's a guy that looks like the Invisible Man, but he's like Radiation Man or something.
I like the fact that you're naming characters that I don't know, and I'm not a huge DC guy, but like just the fact that I enjoy those kind of like Suicide Squad esque things where you just get a bunch of weird characters together to interact.
Yeah, it's been compared to Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, it's definitely like B or C tier, and they with this they just, you know, ran with it. Guardians, they obviously amped them way up.
Sure,
I'd never heard of them, but enjoyed their stories immensely in the movies. It's a TV show. It's not a, you know, a blockbuster. It's far more modest. And yet, not cheap. It's well done. So well, if you don't know it, you should give it a shot and find out if it's your cup of tea or not.
I'm going to add it to my TV time right now. For those that don't know, we are not sponsored by TV Time in any way whatsoever, but TV Time nope. is an app that we absolutely love for keeping up with this kind of stuff. What's the network?
What is the network? Yes, I have no idea.
Do you remember where you watched it?
Maybe. It's probably on Max. I want to say it's Max.
Oh, okay. I haven't. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, yeah. I haven't redone my Max yet, so.
It's definitely churn away. Don't disrupt your churn schedule just to watch Doom Patrol. I would not say it's worth that, but it was enjoyable. A little annoying maybe at times. There was one season that really I got through it, but it was really testing me because it was kind of, what is this storyline? This is just boring. You know, let's get back to the. They're a super quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes. You can't see them, but I'm doing air quotes, people.
I believe
superhero team that you know the shtick. Everything goes wrong.
Yep.
They're bumbling idiots. They somehow usually win, kind of like a Jar Jar Binks kind of thing.
But not as slapsticky or as slapsticky.
Not as well. Possibly slapsticky, but not over the top slapstick.
It was that last. That really got me. So it is
incredible. I will say this: it is incredibly imaginative. If you like things that you don't know about, like superheroes you don't know about, there's one part, and I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to give any part of it away. But really, really, you guys had some good stuff in the writers' room because that was very inventive. The characters you came up with at some point.
All right, well, that will sell me, though. That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, that I like. Like that's the kind of stuff that's like the Halo. I mean, I'll be honest with you, you have this massive IP that you know people are going to watch, but when your story is actually really, really good, I'm kind of like, okay, I'll take note of that. That's yeah. Impressive. Now, the only thing keeping me back from Doom Patrol seems to be the fact that there's that many seasons.
Because that's a bad thing for you?
Only because it feels like an investment. I've got to watch 50 to 60 episodes of a show to get.
You don't have to watch. You get to watch them, my friend. No, okay. in that way, it was the perfect sort of pandemic thing because I watched the first season and
yeah.
You know, maybe season two was shortly after that or something, but it was spaced out enough where I kind of forgot about it. And then, new season's out. I'll watch that. So it, I can't even really say that watch season one and that will tell you whether it's your kind of show because I can't remember that well. But yeah, give it a shot. I would say if you get seasons one and two and I can't remember three, probably three under your belt, that's probably good enough
to know whether you're
it really wanders after that. And I don't remember if it was season two or season three. After the Candlemaker. After the Candlemaker, it really wanders and just don't worry about it.
You got anything else you've been watching?
I got into, first, Ghosts US.
I have heard very good things about that show.
Excellent show.
Yeah.
And I'm not I'm not trying to sound snobby. It's just not my thing anymore. I don't watch network stuff, network dramas, network comedies. I don't. But Ghosts in the U.S. it's just the writing is really good.
You keep
good snappy stuff.
You keep specifying the U.S. Is the U.K. version bad? Did you watch it?
Just like the Office, the U.K. had it first.
Be careful with your words. Be careful with your words.
What?
I'm one of the few
people. It started in, they had the Ghosts UK. That was the first one. That was the original.
Oh,
they
no,
came
no.
up with it.
Oh, no, no, no. I got that part. I thought you were about to say that the Ghosts UK was better than the US office, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
sorry. I should say Ghosts UK. I am one of the few people that think that the actual UK office was better than the US office. And I know people are going to rag on me for that one, but I loved the UK version of The Office of Gervais. So I was wondering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen the Ghost UK?
Because Ghost US, which is still only two seasons, third season I think is coming out soon.
Okay.
I got really curious about the original from the UK and went and watched two seasons of It. Mm-hmm. I think it's finished, and it had five seasons, but you have to buy the other seasons, and I'm just not going to do it.
Oh, yeah. No.
So the first two, is it the first two seasons? I think it's the first two seasons. Also really good. Just so well done. Loved it. Can't wait to finish it when I get the chance.
Was the UK and the US version like parallel stories? Like, were they pretty much the same? Could the office...
I really appreciate it. They are kind of like... Or the US, because it came later. It's an echo. It's an echo
of
the UK. Similar storylines, similar characters, but different takes on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a remix.
Yeah. That's cool.
I'm fine with that.
So I've heard really good things about Ghosts, and I know that you sit up on your drinking your chalice up on your throne.
Yes.
Demanding that people don't watch CBS or NBC or any of these over-the-air networks. But I was impressed that it came from, I think it's CBS, if I remember right, is actually the one that airs it. And I remember people talking about it, and I did the same thing you did. Like, I remember people being like, it is an absolutely hilarious show. And this is people that I trust, you know, on the humor level. And, I should say humor level. It's like a stratification caste system or something like that. People that find stuff funny that I also find funny. And people raved about it. And I was just like, this is the show on CBS, right? Like, I almost found it, like, hard to believe. And they're like, yes, it is absolutely hilarious.
It's like discovering Community, you know, towards the end of it. When it's like, this was a really good show.
Yeah, agreed.
Wow, how did I not know about this? That's what it was like discovering Ghosts US, because that's what I watched first.
Excellent. I have added it to TV Time also. We're not paid by TV Time. We keep mentioning it. And people are going to be like, dude, this podcast is just one big TV Time commercial. And it's not, but it kind of is.
Seriously.
Have you been playing anything lately, video game wise?
I have not. No, just too busy. Too much going on.
I've been dabbling back in the Forza a little bit, but not much. There's just not much. Like, there's not many games out there right now that I feel like I can invest 20 to 30 minutes in and still feel productive. Like, it's like you really got to play a game now. And I haven't.
Found anything. That's my dilemma. Is I am a huge open world guy.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I played was Far Cry 5.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Yeah, and that's my kind of game. And when you can't just sit down for 30 minutes. What are you going to do? You're going to get in a car and drive down the road and then quit. Okay, good job. You can't take on a mission. You just don't have time. So you're not going to get in the car and like start driving down the road and then quit. You didn't get anything done. It's a challenge to carve out enough time to really get into the world.
Yeah, agreed. Just getting started in some of these games. Like, I was playing some game the other day, and I forget which game it was, and I wish I remembered. But I literally probably played maybe 3 hours into the game and then saw the opening credits for the game.
Oh, sure.
And it turned me
off. And I love that. Yeah, I love that. But, yeah, it's a commitment.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I am this far into this game, which I feel like has taken me 4 to 5 nights of my video game time. And I just now I'm seeing the opening credits. Oh my gosh, this game's gonna take forever. And then that kind of sits in my head, in the back of my head, and I'm like, I want to go find something that's a little bit more casual. You know, like I don't want to have to dedicate just like watching The Wire or whatever. You know, it's just like I understand that it probably is awesome. I just don't have the time for it.
Right. I don't think we ever talked about it, but But the opening when you first start, is it Horizons 4 or 5? Which one was the most recent one?
5, I believe, was the most recent one. But they all have that same kind of opening where you, like, are thrown into a car.
You're thrown into a race.
Yeah, you're thrown into a race that's like, and you got some guy talking on the radio being like, you're at the blah, blah, blah festival. You've got to beat these blah, blah, blah
And it's
people.
It's boom. You are not here's the start of the race. You are zooming in and you're in the car in the middle of a race and you race and race and race and race and then like zoom out and it takes you to another one and like maybe a third or a fourth.
Yeah, there's like
and then. And that is the I was so blown away by that. And you can't repeat it. You have to like delete the whole game and you know, install it all
New
over
character.
Again.
Yeah.
God, that was so good. I was so impressed.
Yeah, Horizon's a great game. I think from some story-wise perspective, and I'll tell you where Horizon's like big, like a chef's kiss, is their expansion packs are like fun. Like I don't know how to describe it. Like they have so with Forza, you have the simulator experience. Whenever you release new material, you want it to be simulator-like material. You know, new cars, new tracks, and stuff. Horizon gets to have so much fun with everything, like Hot Wheels, like just crazy stuff.
I remember you talking about the Hot Wheels.
Oh, Horizon 4 and Horizon 5, or maybe it's 3 and 4, both have a Hot Wheels expansion worth every bit of that $12 you pay, or $15, whatever it is. It is a blast. If you were a kid like me that had Hot Wheels, and those big, you know, orange tracks or blue tracks, and little things that would shoot your car up through the loops and everything, it is one of the funnest and best $15 you can spend on any game period. Any game period. Happily played that, and also to play with the kids too. I mean, it's so much fun. Speaking of driving games,
I was gonna transition, but I want to hear your transition. Go ahead.
Okay, my transition is, speaking of driving games, I believe you mentioned in Discord. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was on the podcast that you really enjoyed the Gran Turismo movie.
Again, like Halo, I went into that with like almost no expectations whatsoever. It's like, whatever, entertain me. And yeah, that was a good movie.
I was flying down to Orlando about 2 weeks ago. I just happened to see it on the plane. It was like an hour and 20 minutes. The flight was like an hour. I was like, all right, I'm gonna try to start this movie and then I can watch it on the return trip and finish it up. It was better than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
It was better than I expected. I think that we, on the Discord, we talked about product placement, because there's a lot of product placement in that movie.
It was by far, like, it had the most product placement of any movie, like, ever.
But to be fair, it lends itself to that just because of the story being told.
Yeah. It's the racing environment. It's right. Product placement all over the freaking place.
Yeah, and then also, it's not just product placement all over the place for the drivers, but like in the game you're seeing, or sorry, in the movie you're seeing elements of a game which has product placement in it also. So it's like huge combo thing. It was better than I thought it would be. I think there was a little bit of liberty taken with the timeline.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And I don't know that I liked that. That being said, really well acted. Cheesy moments, you know, but it was still like the actors were all good. You know, it was good. It was a lot. I don't want to say that I wanted to dislike it, because I love racing. Like I watch tons and tons of racing, especially sports car racing and endurance racing. But like, I wanted to think it was going to be super cheesy, but I have to admit it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It really was. It was a very interesting movie, to say the least, in my opinion. Like it tackles some stuff, and you're like, wow, I'm surprised it tackled that, and it does a pretty good job. I mean, I don't know. It's got its cheese moments. It's got its Fast and Furious type things, but I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
I was really impressed. They didn't present it as, you know, this kid is basically Superman. He can do anything. It wasn't quite, you know, like that. It was, he has struggles, he has challenges, and he works to overcome them, and that's always a rewarding storyline. Same with the pit guy. I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy from Stranger Things.
Yep.
He has his own challenges too, and he works to overcome them. I guess it's kind of a spoiler, but I thought the way the crash came about, the way they portrayed it happening, and then the fallout from it was, you can really step back and say, yeah, okay, so cliche, Days of Thunder, Top Gun, all over again. And I can't dispute that, but it was handled well, and it crafted a story. That crash, I looked it up, did not happen until like two years later.
Two years later, yeah.
Yeah. So it's curious that they shuffled the timeline like they did, but you can see why they did it.
Well, that was the one part that I didn't like, that they gave a little bit of story license to, because it's not the crack. It's just that it's like, it's a real timeline of events that anybody can go look up, and you've literally taken something and moved it to make the movie more dramatic. And I understand that, but it's also a real sequence of events. There's no disputing it. You know what I mean?
Like, I know, but if the story were just the kid was really good at a video game, and so he got onto this team, and then he worked and he got better at racing, and then he won a race. Wow, that's great. No, you may not like it, but you respond to it.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
You respond to a more interesting story, and yes, you can feel a little manipulated. That's fine. A lot of people will just,
I think
suspend their disbelief.
But there's recency bias too, though. I mean, it's like, for me, if you're going to tell the story of 2010's University of Alabama football team, you can't take big liberties with it, because it's a finite thing. It happened in an order. Like, it has to happen in an order. Like,
did you know this kid's story? Did you know the story?
I know it pretty well.
You knew it because you're a racing guy. Yeah. I didn't know this story.
Right.
What percentage of the audience knew the story?
10%? Knew the sequence of the story is a different thing than
I know this kid. I read all about him, becoming a real racer guy, and he had a wreck and stuff. Like 10%, 15%?
If that. Yeah, if that.
I don't even know what it did in the box office, so I have no idea. But no one knows the story.
Even when they placed it Lamar, he wasn't a household name. I mean, I understand you bringing the story in the movie. I wish they would have treated the timeline a little bit better, personally. Like, I felt like, and I don't think it was disrespecting anybody, but I feel like. If you're gonna tell the story, you gotta tell that sequence. And if it wasn't so recent, like, it's one thing if I understand that when I watch Band of Brothers, that there's dramatic license all over the place. You know what I mean?
And they got so much stuff wrong.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Much stuff wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the 1940s. But when you're doing something that's like 2010-ish, like, I'm a little bit more like, we can take some license sometimes, but can we take the license this recent? I mean, that's like, I don't know.
I will say that your criticism is vindicated in the sense that it really was presented as an biographical story. Like, this really happened. And when you do that, okay, I know why you're doing it. It's really weird how people buy into, this is a real story. This really happened. Like it freaking matters, right? I mean, who cares? It's a good movie. Watch the movie, don't watch the movie. It's either a good story or it's not. What does it matter that it really happened? And one of the best examples of that is at the beginning of Fargo, where it says this is based on events that really happened or whatever it says at the beginning of Fargo. And it was completely made up.
Well, I didn't know that. I've never watched Fargo, but I did not know that. Yep. That's kind of neat. So it actually, at the very beginning of the show, says this was based on...
like, based on real life or based on real events. Wholly fabricated.
That's awesome.
Because they did that because they knew... I mean, it wasn't a mistake. They did it on purpose. They did that because it makes you have buy-in.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Which is weird when you stop to think about it, right? If the next Star Wars movie said, based on real events, it would be like... What are you talking about?
It is a time in the Republic, which was yesterday, down the street from you.
Like, it's just so weird. And they don't say that in or at least I don't think they say that in...
Like, it just feels like you're telling me something happened. I'm not knocking this movie. I enjoyed this movie. I really did. But I don't know. I just feel like it's such a new thing. That it maybe should have been treated a little bit different. That being said, I agree. I love the story. I thought it was great. They did a really good job. The actor did a really good job. And I remember watching this kid specifically just because I was so impressed with the video game stuff. I was like, oh my God, this guy's really good. And he's coming from a video game background. He's not a guy that's, parents paid for everything to get him into karting and to get him, through all this stuff. Like he literally is coming from, some kid playing a video game and showing everybody that, hey, this guy can actually do it. Now, he had the physical characteristics, I feel like, just because his dad was a footballer. You knew that there was a little bit more like I never thought this kid was like bought and paid for any of his seats. But I always thought that he had a little bit of an advantage just because he actually had an athletic background and a competitive background. You know, like you got to be uber competitive to get it, you know, to get in there. So like I was always impressed with that, and I was always impressed with the story. And it was a good story, and it was a good translation to film. It was. I'd sound like I'm knocking it just because I didn't like that specific aspect of the sequence, but I'm not gonna poo poo on it. It was great. It was a great movie.
I thought they did a good job of giving due credit if it is accurate, giving due credit to the game designers, the people who wrote the game made it so hyper realistic and hyper accurate that it allowed someone like him to come along and become a race driver.
I remember there was a, and I'm sorry for laughing. I remember there was a skit one time, and I can't remember who it was. I keep wanting to say that Whitest Kid You Know, but it wasn't Whitest Kid You Know. Like, I feel like there was a skit one time that I always remember where they had a guy, and it was uber serious, like uber serious. And he comes down, and he's like a teenage kid, and they're like, today we're going to see if, you know, this translates very well to the track. And the guy takes off and just runs right into the wall. Runs right into the wall. And it's not, this is not a real thing, it's a skit. But it's almost arresting how quickly he runs into a wall and the car blows up. And the people are like, oh, like that. So seeing something like this always, like, makes me, there are kids out there that can, you know, that can play, you know, tennis on this, you know, on PS5 and actually maybe be decent. Like, they, or at least go in with an advantage over people that didn't play it, you know. To do what he did, though, is a completely different level. I mean, it's just I can't, as someone who has watched Le Mans for years or decades, I can't describe to you, podium at Le Mans is like everything had to work. Strategy, car, pit crew, driver sleep schedules, like everything had to work. And to see that happen that's when you know you're like, okay, that's a level that people can't normally attain. And the movie did a very good job in depicting that. Like, I did think it was neat that he was like, once you podium at Le Mans, you go on an infamy. And that's not winning it. That's not winning your class. That's just getting on the podium in the top three for your class. Yeah. And I appreciated that, because that was not like a, we're going to have him win the whole thing. And, you know, it was a very much like, it's just getting through that race at the top of your level of your gentleman drivers. And he did, and they did, you know, the team did. So I thought that was really good and really well done the way they did that.
I agree.
Good movie. I'll give it two thumbs up. I was surprised, because like when you said you liked it and I started watching, I think the first 5 minutes, I was just kind of like, I don't know. What is this?
Oh, right. I didn't have that. I didn't have any moment like that. I was in for the ride and didn't want to, like, I never had any doubt. It's not like I was sold on it. I was just enjoying the movie.
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of the special effect parts where I'm always kind of like, do we need this? Where it like shows like the car come together on the kid as he's driving in his like simulator.
I thought that was neat. It was conveying a message.
It was.
I thought it was effective.
It was effective. I agree it was effective. I'm remembering it. I'm talking about it right now. But it was a good movie. Kudos for what word am I looking for? Kudos for the product suggestion.
Placement. No. Oh, sure.
Yep. Excuse me.
Well, that's product placement in a way.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah. You're one of them, John. So kudos for the suggestion. It was good. I was impressed with it, and I think everybody should go watch it. It's pretty well done, and the actual racing scenes are pretty impressive too. I mean, just the photography and all that kind of stuff.
So you're gonna go buy a Nissan?
No, I'm not gonna go buy a Nissan. But that being said, okay. I have always been impressed with that car company, and Toyota. I should take that back. There's lots of car companies that actually, at that time that they were doing this, also had driving schools. For virtual race car drivers. So that's, you know, it sounds, and don't get me wrong, they were probably one of the first, and may have been the first in the movie. But there were other companies that were already kind of doing that kind of thing too, like testing people out and saying, hey, can we find this, like, you know, needle in the haystack of somebody that's actually physically could do it? Because you got to remember, you got to physically be able to do that. I mean, it's not, like, that's not easy whatsoever. And then, I say that as if I know what it is. I'm just saying it's. I've seen people that I know that have trained really, really well. You can't handle that long of a drive. But
they should find kids who are like really good at Street Fighter and try them out in the MMA.
Yeah, seriously, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd watch. I might even pay. I saw a really good
pay the kids' medical bills.
So thanks for joining us today on episode 44. We'll be back with episode 45. Looks like we're going to be doing still in season 3. We've got episodes 13, 14, and 15 of season 3. We'll be watching those for the next podcast. And also, let's add in Vision season 2. Because we worked our way all the way through Vision season 1 on a budget podcast. And those episodes are kind of short. They're usually about 10 minutes, which is pretty good time. For us to discuss maybe just one of those episodes. So let's do Vision Season 2, Episode 1. I don't know the name of it because I don't have it in front of me, but we can discuss that also with those other three episodes. So, John, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And everyone out there, stay safe. We'll see you on Episode 45.
This is the 11 Parsecs Podcast, Episode 44. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a good review. And be sure to check us out at 11parsecs.com and Discord. I'm Jonathan Smith with Master Chief Eric Thompson. Thank you for joining us.
You know the shtick.